joy to be part of such a generous family and to see us blessing people all over the world, people we don't know, from India to Ghana. It doesn't matter. We're doing something. Amen? Amen? Doing something in Jesus' name. Well, good to see you here on Resurrection Sunday. Where were you last week? No, just kidding. Good, just great to have you out here this morning. All right. Conquered your fear. Conquered your fear of COVID, right? Don't mind me. All right. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. My title this morning is two words. And it's not "He is risen," because that's three. I will. I will. Say, I will.
I will.
I'm going to show you some I wills in the Bible that are remarkable. And we're going to start with the first one, I will rebel. I will rebel. And it was done and said by Satan. We go to the book of Isaiah 14, verse 12. We read this. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, watch, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That is what got him kicked out of heaven. That rebellion, that attitude, that pride. He said, I will ascend. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will also sit. I will ascend above. And he said, I will be like the Most High God. Now, the interesting thing is that everything Satan wanted in his rebellion was given by grace to us. Everything. We have been exalted in Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the Father. In Christ Jesus, on the throne, far above principalities and powers, we have ascended in him. Everything Satan wanted, we got, simply by grace. The next I will is this. I will release the Holy Spirit. I will release the Holy Spirit. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. He said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit of God. I will sing. So Paul said, basically, I am going to pray, and I'm going to praise. Simply put, I will pray, and I will praise. Paul shows us, as the great apostle, that praying and praising is our decision. Praying in the Spirit is your decision. So many times people get the idea that I will pray in the Spirit or pray in other tongues when the Holy Spirit hits me and I get goosebumps and I feel strange and there's a weird thing going on and there's music playing, then I will. Almost as if the Holy Spirit is going to force you. Understand, it is not the Holy Spirit forcing you whatsoever. It is you yielding your will and you deciding to do it. You decide to pray, you decide to sing. So you come to church during worship, you don't have to participate. If you don't believe the songs, you don't have to participate. But if you believe the songs and you believe the words that are being said, then you have to make a decision. I will sing. I will praise the Lord. Whether anybody else does or not, or whether anybody looks at me or not, is irrelevant. Okay? I will do it. So that's the second I will. I will worship. I will praise. I will sing in the Spirit. I will speak in the Spirit. The third I will is this. I will respect your will. First one is I will rebel. Next one, I will release the Holy Spirit. Number three, I will respect your will. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 39, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was taken captive, before the crucifixion, going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Now, many people have read this scripture and have misunderstood what was going on. People think that he was praying to find out what the will of God was. And so people often pray like this, "If it be your will, I will do something if it be your will." And they take it from this particular verse of scripture. Well, it is an incorrect usage of the scripture. Because if you understand what Jesus did, he wasn't praying to find out the will of God. He knew the will of God. How many times did he not say to his disciples, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to get beaten up. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise again"? Didn't he know what was coming? Did he not know the Old Testament about what was predicted for his life as the Messiah? Of course he did. There's no way he was praying before God and saying, "Okay, what is your will?" He already knew what his will was. He was praying about something else. He was actually asking if there was an alternative method. Is there another way we can do this? Is there another way we can save the world without me having to be separated from you and taking the sin of the world? Is there another way? But nevertheless, not my ideas. Your will be done. So Jesus submitted to the will of God, asking the Father if there was an alternative way. Which means this prayer is a prayer of submission. I am submitting my will to you. That's what he said. I will do your will. I will comply with your will. I will respect your will. I will fulfill your plans and your purposes that you have laid down for me. I will lay down my life for your plans and purposes. I will lay my life down for your will. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself unto death. That no man took his life from him. That he laid his life down. He was respecting the will of the Father to be the sacrificial lamb, to go to the cross on our behalf. Then another "I will," Jesus said, "I will rise again. I will rise again." In Matthew 20 and verse 18, it said, Jesus said, "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life." So he predicted, "I will rise again." He predicted his crucifixion. I've just said right here. Did Jesus know what was coming? Absolutely. Here's the verse in Matthew, in chapter 20, verse 18. He prophesied, "This is what's going to happen to me." He prophesied accurately that the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they're going to condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles, it will be the Romans, and they will mock him and flog him and crucify him and pull his beard from him. They'll put a robe, a royal robe on him. They will blindfold him. They will smash him in the face and say, "Prophesy, who hit you?" They will put a crown of thorns upon him. "You want to be king? Here's a crown of thorns." And then they laid him down and they beat him. And then they said, "Carry your cross to Golgotha." And then they mocked him on the cross. "If you are the Messiah, come down. If you are the king, come on down. Show us your miraculous powers." Could Jesus have come down? Absolutely. Could Jesus have stopped the flogging? Absolutely. Didn't he say, "I could have called 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels, come and deliver me in a moment"? He didn't need 72,000. Old Testament, one angel killed 186,000 people. One angel. One day. There'd be nobody left in Jerusalem. the Roman Empire would have been overthrown. Never mind 72,000 showing up. You hear him saying? He could have done that, but he chose not to do it. Why? Because he was submitting to the will of the Father. Submitting to the will of the Father. But he said, this is what's going to happen to me, but I will rise again. He said, I will rise again. Jesus prophesied they were going to crucify him, but he also prophesied, I will rise again. He said, I will defeat the devil. I will defeat disease. I will defeat sin. I will rise again in the resurrection. Today, we are celebrating the resurrection of what Jesus did. He did defeat the devil. He did overcome sickness. He did overcome death. And by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body, we today have freedom from sin and freedom from sickness. Amen? And today we are no longer sinners saved by grace. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were a sinner, but you're not today. You understand that? When you sin today, it doesn't make you a sinner by nature. You have a nature today of Christ. You have the righteousness and nature of God in you. Sinning to you today is unnatural. Before you got born again, sinning was natural. That's what you did. Couldn't help yourself. Trying to do righteous things before you became a believer was unnatural. Even if you tried to turn over a new leaf, it fell off. But now, thank God, we don't have to turn over a new leaf. We have a new life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, born again of His Spirit, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The next I will, He said, I will return. I will return. In John 14 and verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Trust in me as much as you trust in God. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. I will return. I'm going to go away, but I will return. Now, most Westerners miss what Jesus was saying in this verse, because we are not familiar with Jewish customs. A Jewish custom concerning marriage was this, that when a man proposed to a woman and she accepted, he would then go back to his father's home and he would prepare a place for his bride to be to come. Whether it was a room or with an extension to the house, it doesn't matter. He would prepare everything so that it was completely done, furnished. Everything would be ready. Once that was completed, he would come back and get his bride-to-be, and then they would go to his father's house where they would have a wedding banquet, a wedding feast, and then they would live there and consummate. I had too much communion. Consummate their marriage, and then they would live there together forever. What Jesus said to his disciples was this, I'm going to my father's house. I'm going to prepare this plenty room. I'm going to go prepare a room for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and get you when it's all ready. I'm going to come back and get you. So where I am, there you may be also. This was a marriage proposal. But us Westerners, we miss it. So the Jewish boys looked at each other and go, he's proposing to us. He's proposing to us. And everybody who knew that, who read that, would have understood what he was saying. I'm coming back to get you. I'm going to rise again. Then I'm going to come back and return and get you and take you to my father's house for a marriage ceremony. I will resurrect you. I will resurrect you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. There's going to be a trumpet, there's no doubt about it. And then there's going to be the voice of the archangel, and I believe the words that are going to be spoken out by the archangel is, come up here. I get that out of the book of Revelation when we studied eschatology. The two witnesses are called up with those words, come up here. And I believe those are the same words that the angels are going to use when they call and when the trumpet sound is blasts. All right? Now, this is what they're going to say. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those that have died in Christ, those who are buried, will rise first. They're going to come out of the graves first. There's going to be a resurrection that's going to happen. I will resurrect you. You're going to come out of the grave. You're going to get a glorified body, just the same body as Jesus had. Same body, a celestial body. A body that doesn't die, that doesn't ever get sick. It's an eternal body. A body that you can walk through walls with, like Jesus did. A body that you can eat with. Everybody said hallelujah. And not gain any weight. Another double hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it amazing? He's going to have great food for us in heaven because we're going to a banquet. What kind of a banquet would be there'd be no food? Come on, people, get real. And we're going to eat there for like at least a year. And we've got 7 years to eat, right, for the wedding feast. We've got at least 7 years while the tribulation is going on down, yeah. And eat and eat and eat. That's what I want to do and never feel full. And never feel like I'm stuffed. I have to go and take a nap. Just pass me what's next. Just go ahead. Amen? So, he's coming again. It's going to be coming. The dead are going to rise first. The dead are going to rise first. Then after that, we who are still alive, Paul says, and are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. You're going to come out the grave. You're going to be resurrected. You're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, some people have this notion that we are going to have to go through the tribulation period. Well, you can't go through the tribulation period and be at the wedding feast at the same time. You see, because you have an appointment. And you're not going to be late for this appointment because he's coming to get you. And he's going to blow the trumpet and wake the dead. That's why we have loud music in church. We're getting ready for it. Amen. Amen. Come on up here. Come on up here. Banquet table is prepared for you. Come on here. Now, the interesting thing is when we get there, we're going to be given a robe. And the robe we're going to be wearing is going to be a robe that you created. The Bible says that you will be on earth right now making a robe for yourself out of the works of righteousness that you do. That's book of Revelation says that. The bride, the Bible says, made herself ready with the righteous works that she did. Okay? And that prepares the robe for you. That's what it is. Okay, so when you get there, you're going to get a robe. Praise the Lord. So, I'm coming to rapture you. I will resurrect you and I will rapture you. You're coming to join me at our wedding banquet. Everybody say our. You're not going to be a guest at this wedding feast. It's your wedding. You're the bride. He's the groom. You're the bride. You're not a guest. You're not a maid of honor. You're not a best man. You're the bride. This wedding feast is for you. You've got to understand this. You're not going to go through the tribulation period because you're supposed to be at a wedding. And this wedding is for you. You've got to understand it is for you. And you're going to have special clothing when you get there. Thank God you're going to be special. And you know what the scripture says? You have been counted worthy to be part of the first resurrection. A lot of people say, well, all of the body of Christ is going to go. Everybody who confessed Jesus as Lord is going to go. Not so much. No, it's not what the Bible says. It's what we would like it to say. Like we'd like it to also say, yeah, everybody's going to go to heaven whether you believe in Jesus or not. People say that too. That doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. The Bible clearly says he's coming for those who are watching and waiting and who are ready. The five foolish virgins will stay. The five that are alert and are ready and are watching will go. And the Bible clearly says these words that you are counted worthy to go in the first resurrection. Now, I'm throwing some stuff out there that you go, whoa, now I'm not so happy. Good. A little fire underneath you, and you may be resurrected. You might jump for joy. We do teach those things at Bible college, and we show you from Scripture. Amen. But there's no reason for you to miss the rapture. There's no reason for you not to be resurrected unless you don't want to be. Understand that it is your will. You choose. You choose to serve the Lord. You choose to follow after him. You choose to worship him. Are you hearing me? You choose to obey the Bible. You choose to read the Bible. You choose to pray. It's up to you. If you don't want to, you're choosing to stay behind. You are making the decision. You are deciding you're not worthy to go. Are you out there? You're going home. Maybe, Cindy, you need to start the car so I can get out. Scripture says so. Amen? Well, as for me and my house, I will believe the Lord Jesus. I will believe in the resurrection. I will bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of lords and King of kings. I will lay my life down. I will pick up my cross and follow Jesus. I will serve him with my whole heart. I will exalt him above all other things and exalt him in his, declare his victory. I will preach the gospel. I will resist the devil. I will lay hands on the sick. I will preach the gospel. I will yield to the Holy Spirit. I will pray. I will praise him. I will fulfill the plans and purposes he has for my life. I will walk in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has got for me. Amen. Come on, stand with me. Come on, go ahead and stand with me. Don't you think it's a good time to make a fresh commitment? A resurrection commitment. Are you ready? A resurrection commitment to Jesus. Praise God. Well, then say this with me. I will believe in Jesus. I will believe in the resurrection. I will bow my knee to the Lord of lords and King of kings. I will lay my life down. I will pick up my cross and follow him. I will serve the Lord with my whole heart. I will exalt and declare his victory. I will preach the gospel. I will lay hands on the sick. I will resist the devil. I will yield to the Holy Spirit. I will pray. I will praise him. I will fulfill the plans and the purposes that he has for me. I will walk in the victory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, then rejoice. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.